in some of my studies on the great revivals that have taken place in the past, it is said that the great Welsh revival of the past 2 centuries ago was started by a little girl in a church who was actually considered by many to be a simpleton. She was considered not to be particularly bright and may in fact have had some mental retardation, mental challenges. But it was reported that she stood up in a church service and simply said these words, "I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart." And in the annals of history, that testimony is pointed to as the event that sparked one of the greatest revivals in all of history. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. I like simple things too, Sue Ann. I like to, sometimes we make things so complicated, yet love the Lord with all your heart. Whatever you do, do it unto Him. Know, believe that He's leading you, that He's guiding you, that He's in charge of everything concerning your life, and then you watch and see what happens. You watch and see what happens. One day, you'll be up here giving the same kind of a testimony, and it'll be real to you. It'll be real to you. Let's read our chapter this morning, our part of our chapter. We've been working our way through it this week. Time's marching on, but we still have enough time to read and perhaps have a comment or two. A few years ago in our Bible study in our church, we read through the entire New Testament. We made very few comments. We just simply read it. We read it aloud. We read through the whole thing. And I tell you, we were never so blessed. We were never so blessed. You don't always have to have a big sermon, a lot of preaching on the Word of God. Sometimes it's good to let God speak for Himself. Sometimes I think that I say, "Lord, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Just let You speak for Yourself." And sometimes He says, "That's right. Don't say too much." Other times He says, "No, I got something for you to say." But today, let's let the Lord speak to us in His Word. We're going to be starting in verse 129. Am I right? Everybody, am I on? I have the right page. Psalm 119. We're going to read from verse 129 to 160. It takes us about 5 or 6 minutes. All right. I'll read and you respond today. Let's read in that manner. All right. Everybody ready? Psalm 129. And of course, every section of this, of every verse of this section starts with what Hebrew letter? Who wants to take away? It's only 2 letters. Who can pronounce that? Peh. Yeah, the Hebrew letter peh. All right, every one starts with that letter, right? Remember that? Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them together. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Together, your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry out with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes." I cry out to you, "Save me, and I will keep your testimonies." I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause, redeem me, revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Together, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Just very briefly, one of the 8 synonyms used in Psalm 119 for the word of God is the word commandments. Did you see that in there? The commandments. About 22 times in the original text, the word commandments is used. Again, depending on your translation, it may be a little bit different, but about 22 times. And a commandment is very simply, we'll just make this quick, it's a distinct and authoritative order. When you are commanded to do something, right? That's you're being told what to do. And that word commandment, that idea of God's commandments, what that emphasizes to us, remember, each one of these, again, it's not just to keep us, you know, from getting bored or from getting tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. It gives us just a little different picture of the Word of God. And this word commandments, speaking of God's Word and His commandments, what it does is it emphasizes God's authority, His divine sovereignty, which gives Him the authority to tell us what to do and tell us what not to do. That's what a commandment is, isn't it? Let's get rid of the holy language a little bit and let's just tell it like it is. He has the authority to tell us what to do and what not to do. And that's what the psalmist wants us to understand. As he says, as these beautiful things about the Word of God, when you think about it, he's saying, oh, how I love that you tell me what to do. My delight is that you tell me what not to do. Now, that raises just a couple of questions. 2 of them very, very briefly. The first one is, what gives him the right to tell me what to do? That's a big one today. Don't tell me what to do. I have my rights. Right? In the United States, I got my rights. I'll sue. Right? Well, what gives him the right to tell me what to do? Let me ask you a question this morning, real fast. I know many of you here love God's commandments. But what is it that gives him the right to tell us what to do?
Because he made us.
Sister Munsinger, bing, 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 bing. Number one answer. You win. Another star pupil, Sister Marie. You sit in the front row tonight. He's our creator. He made us. That alone gives him the authority to command us. But secondly, and this one I think is very precious. Anybody else want to give me another answer before I give you my number two answer? Right. They're actually hand in hand. Was that what most of you were thinking? The fact that he created us, he is God. He redeemed us. He's our redeemer. Not only did he make us, not only did he create us, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, right? He created us. But then, when we just willfully walked away from him, which in itself is sort of mind-blowing if you think about that, that our Creator allowed us, in His providence, in giving us free will, He allowed us to walk away. Anybody ever do something special for somebody, and they just walked away, unappreciative, could care less, trampled on that gift or whatever it was that you gave them, what you did for them, didn't matter to them at all? Boy, how do we respond to that? Last time I'll do anything for you, right? Right? See, West, Midwest, East Coast, we all think alike, right? That's the last time I'll do anything for you. But as our Father, our Creator, watched us walk away, in His mind was a plan to buy us back.
Yes.
To win us back. So what gives Him the right The fact that He created us, and the fact that He redeemed us, that He bought us back. It's so much easier to listen to someone who you know loves you, isn't it? When you know someone really loves you, cares for you, has your best interest at heart, it makes it so much easier to pay attention to what they say. If they ask you to do something, sure! Right? It's your delight, it's your pleasure. The psalmist came to understand that. And that's why he loves God's commands. He recognized that as creator, God had the authority to tell us, as his creation, what to do and what not to do. But then he also realized that those commands were issued out of love. And he proved that love. The verse that we all know, talk about memorizing, I think we all know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's why he did it. That's why he sent his son, because he loved the world. And the psalmist had come to know that. And because of that, these words, these commands, these do's and don'ts, which don't sound particularly thrilling, thrilled him, because he recognized from whence they came. And so as you read that word, commandments, think about that. Think about the authority of our Father in heaven, our God, but also remember his love, because he reveals both of them in these commands. Now, we have just a few minutes, so we're not going to have a long time, but what verse in here this morning blessed you? Anything jump out at you? Speak to you? What do you got? What thrills your heart this morning about the Word of God? Good, come on. There's another good student here on a roll this week, Sister Marianne.
130, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I just want to say this real quick.
Yeah.
As I was going on with my homework, which I'm glad for this homework, I found that 9 times, your word, and I just kept checking off where it says your word. And I thought, the Word of God is everything.
Yeah.
Everything. The direction, which grace and how to live in this life. I love his teaching. I want to learn his teaching so much more.
Amen.
I never loved learning so much in my whole life until the Word of God to teach me.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. And boy, the idea of light, understanding, direction, all found in his Word. Good. Someone else. Brother Petfield, come on.
154, 156, 159, revive me according to your word, your judgments, and your loving kindness.
Yes. Revive me. Just before I came up to camp a couple of weeks ago, excuse me, I got recertified. I was recertified in CPR. We were talking about that with Johnny, your son, Brother Tom, and we were discussing just that whole issue and all, and you know, when someone has a problem, they can't revive themselves. They need reviving. They need that heart to be pumped. See my technique? I passed with flying colors. I try to be a good student too, Sister Marie. Not just a good teacher, but a good student. And they need breath. They need that oxygen to flow. Well, as we read the Word of God, what happens? That breath, all Scripture, is God-breathed. That's one of the new translation things that I like. That it makes that very clear of given by inspiration of God. That means literally all Scripture was God-breathed. You need life? You need life added to your spiritual walk? Get into the Word of God. Study it. Love it. I know I've told you that every morning this week, and I'll tell it to you again tomorrow before you go home. Love the Word of God. Get it into you. Get it into your brain. Get it into your heart. Live it. In other words, get it into your body. Get it into every part of you. And what happens? That breath of God will breathe into you and you will be revived. Exactly right. We will be revived. And boy, isn't that something? I didn't think they had CPR back then, Brother Bob, but he understood something about that, didn't he? In a spiritual sense. Excellent. Very good. Who else? Couple more minutes. Brother Peter.
I had the same verse in mind.
Good.
One of them. Plus 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. In 159, Receive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness.
Yes.
His loving kindness, his mercies. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Good. Good. Anyone else?
I love this 131. I pant with expectation long before your commands. I think back to, like, you know, baking cookies or something, and all the kids are, like, watching for that pant. Do I pant with expectation, you know, expecting, waiting on the Lord?
Yeah.
Like, the kids wait for their cookies to come
out. Yes. And I tell you what, it's not just kids, is it? I remember walking through Monmouth Mall one day down by our house, and they had just opened up a Mrs. Fields. Now, I know they're maybe not around as much anymore, but they just opened up a Mrs. Fields. And you know what? You know what those dirty little devils used to do? When they would build, put a Mrs. Fields in this, it was a cookie place, in case you don't know, chocolate chip cookies. They would put a fan right at the front entrance, blowing out into the mall. No matter where you were in the mall, you smelled chocolate chip cookies. And here were all these, you look around, here's all these people. You know, floating, following the scent down the mall to get their Mrs. Fields cookies. Do we pant, does our soul pant after the Lord like that? Thank you. That's a great thought, Sister Lana. God, give us that desire. That's, and the more you know of him, the more you want him.
Brother Jonathan, one thing I thought of about that same word that you gave about keeping his commandments is what it says in Deuteronomy 5, that it might be well with them and their children forever,
yes,
and that you may prolong your days in the land.
Yes.
God isn't mad at us, and he says, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. It's for your good.
Absolutely.
You'll have a much better life if you keep his commandments.
Amen. Amen. All from his love. For our good.
Yes.
For our good.
Yes.
Don't give rules to our children just to make them miserable. Unless we're in a particularly bad mood that day. But our Father's never in a bad mood. It's always out of love. It's always out of love.
That's right.
Thank you, Sister Marie. Great thought. Who else? Come on, the clock is ticking. Yes.
And it made me think of the Hawkins little Down syndrome granddaughter. Well, Elizabeth had such a sensitivity to the things of the Lord.
Yes.
And the seriousness that comes out of her little face when you talk about God's love. And, you know, she really loves him. And I appreciate seeing that.
Yes.
And preclude everything else.
Yes.
But she really focuses on understanding this.
Amen. Amen.
I remember hearing how Dr. Gray had said beautiful things when he knows him, that he knew Greek and he knew Hebrew. And he knew him.
Yeah.
And that love way really, really struck
him. Amen. Amen. That is the secret. Isn't that what Paul writes about as he introduces the great love chapter? He tells about all these marvelous things and spiritual things, gifts and all this. But I want to tell you about the best way. I want to show to you a more excellent way. And then he breaks out into that beautiful language, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. But have not love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. What is the greatest law? They asked Jesus. What's the greatest command? Speaking of commandments. What's the greatest command? What it was? No. Don't do this! Don't rob banks! Don't beat people up! Is that what it was? No, you know what it was. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of all the law. And you know, that's the unusual thing about these commands, that you come to realize that in these commandments is revealed the love of God. The love of God to our hearts, and to all of his creation. It's a shame. It's a shame that so many, all they can think of is to just throw off the commands of God. Just disregard them. Rationalize them away. We're modern. We're enlightened. We're this. We're that. And all the time, not realizing, because the enemy has blinded their hearts, has given them futile minds, that all in this, what they're doing is what my dad used to call forsaking their own mercies.
Yes.
They're walking away from what God in His love, like you shared with us, Sister Marie, and others, what God in His love has given us for our good. For our good.